is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside to the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino on this Saturday after Thanksgiving. This is the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Femi Bebefe, Michael Lombardi out in the great city of New Jersey. Michael, you still working through those leftovers? How are we doing this weekend, man?
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot to go through. I can't imagine you're not either. I mean, it's hard to get through them all. It's hard to get through them all, but it's enjoyable. There's nothing like turkey sandwiches, especially if you got really good bread and, you know, you got the leftover cranberry sauce. I mean, why not? If not now, when, Femi? I mean, you got to enjoy it, right?
100%. Oh, I'm gonna enjoy some later on after the show. I'm going to go home and enjoy some.
Of course you are.
Watch a little Ohio State, Michigan.
I mean, you got to watch the Cowboys to dominate. I mean, you were on a roll. I didn't even notice. Was Twitter Femi out? I didn't see. Was he out? Yes, on Thanksgiving Day.
Twitter Femi was replaced by Bourbon Femi on Thanksgiving Day.
I got it. Good. That's it's always good to take the phone out of your hands when you're drinking a little bourbon. Yes, that's a smart play right there, Mr. Femi. Congratulations on that. As I always would tell my sons, and now I tell Bill Berman's daughters, you got to think three times. Don't think twice. Think three times. And you did. Congratulations.
There we go. So, yeah, it's one of our pro tips there. If you're getting into the fun stuff, maybe put the phone down and not
think
press
three times.
Exactly. Think three times. But it was a fun Thanksgiving, though. And we have a fun show on deck for you guys over these next couple of hours. Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime and also the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. He will join us in 15 minutes as he gives out his plays here for the college football card. He's got a bet in Michigan, Ohio State, as does our buddy Matt Eumanns, who will be joining us in the second hour, 11:30 Eastern, 8:30 Pacific time, host of VSiN Tonight and co-host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. And we'll, of course, talk some NFL, the Thanksgiving, the Black Friday games a little bit later on this hour. But we do have to start with the game, Michael. The stakes always high when Ohio State and Michigan do battle. This one be in Ann Arbor. And right now, looking at the betting market, the Michigan Wolverines are down to 3-point favorites, total sitting at 45.5 here. What do you think of the game with the Big Ten East title on the line?
Well, I think this is a contrast in styles, and you can almost sense that Ryan Day, the head coach of Ohio State, is offended deeply by being called soft. I mean, it goes back to when Lou Holtz called him soft, you know, on the Pat McAfee show when they were doing that, you know, when he did that. So this is truly a battle of one team that wants to prove they're not soft and the other team that has an arrogance to them about their toughness. And it's well-deserved arrogance. Don't get me wrong. I think that's the game. And so it's really perfect to play this game and at cloudy weather, noon, kind of chilly, but not too bad. And it's going to come down to which defense can ultimately force the other offense to play left-handed and who has a well-rounded offense. I think, to me, when I watch Michigan, I wonder when they're going to unleash J.J. McCarthy. When are they going to let him kind of participate really in the game plan? You know, and if he does that, he's the better quarterback on the field and they'll win the game.
Why do you think they haven't unleashed him? Is this just because they haven't had to do it? Or is it like they don't believe that? You think it's more so just like, hey, why do we even take on the risk? Let's just run the ball down these teams' throats.
I think if you're a head coach, I think you always are looking distantly into the future about what do you have to do with your team to beat the best teams. I mean, I think Nick Sirianni at the Eagles and Kyle Shanahan at the 49ers, they've got to sit there and say, okay, you know, even though we're preparing to play Buffalo this week and we played Seattle on Thursday night, what do we have to do to beat each other, right? What kind of game do we have to make sure we're capable of playing? And you leave that and you practice that. And there's always an opponent that you have to practice during the season that you're not playing that weekend. And I think that's where Michigan is. I would be surprised if McCarthy didn't have a good day today. You know, and I think that's going to be the key to the moment. I mean, it's going to come down to can they throw the football effectively against a defense that has really been the key to, you know, we know Ohio State gets all the credit, but, you know, they have the second-ranked defense in the country at Ohio State, you know, and so their relative scoring defense is the best in the country. So I think this is what it's going to come down to, and I could see why everybody wants to play the under in the game.
Yeah, the under has been getting better. Open 46.5. Now we're down to 45.5, even 45 in some places here. And from a betting perspective, I find this nugget really, really interesting because usually we don't see the Ohio State Buckeyes as underdogs in conference game. In fact, Michael, they have been favored in 43 straight games against Big Ten teams entering this week. Now playing the underdog role are the Buckeyes. They were favored last year in this game. They got out physical and out tough against Michigan. They were favored in the game 2 years ago in Ann Arbor, and Michigan beat them up pretty good here. But the betting market all throughout this year has sort of kind of liked Ohio State in this spot. I think about 2 months ago, this was, I think, want to say Michigan 6.5. Now we're sitting here at 3, to where, like, do you think there's a little bit of value laying the 3 with Michigan, or is this a game that Ohio State is 100% live and it's going to be kind of a coin flip result?
I mean, you know, I have a right and left brain game here because I'm rooting for Michigan because I was there on campus and, you know, I watched their team, and this is a different Michigan team. As I've said to you many times this year, this is a team that wears you down. I mean, last year they were good, but they didn't have these kind of games where they blow out the opponent and just dominate the game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is, you know, Indiana would give them trouble. Michigan State often gave them trouble. Purdue would give them trouble. None of that. I mean, you look at the Penn State score and you say, well, it was close. Both teams played Penn State about the same. Not really. When you consider they didn't even attempt to pass in the second half at State College. Think about that, right? And I just think, to me, the dominance of what they've been able to accomplish this year makes them a little different. I think they're different in a better way. I don't think Ohio State's as good as they've been in the past. So I would lay the points here. But again, you know, these are rivalry games that oftentimes come down to a play here and a play there, and it's always so close. So you're often better taking the points.
Yeah, no, it feels like taking the points when it's north of a field goal is probably the smart move. Now, when it's sitting at 3, I don't know if I can get there, but I will say, and I was talking with the guys about this behind the glass before we started the show, the last couple of years, like the market movement on the day of the game has been pretty predictive of who ultimately won the game. Like, I think back to a couple of years ago when the last time they played in Ann Arbor, and people were hammering Michigan, and this was before like Michigan had beaten Ohio State in quite some time, and everyone's like, oh, like Ohio State's just gonna win again, and the market was just in love with Michigan in that game, and then we saw Aiden Hutchinson and that Michigan Wolverine team finally break through and go ahead and beat Ohio State. So it is interesting seeing so much love with Ohio State as we're less than 2 hours away from kickoff. I'm fascinated to see where we're sitting here an hour from now, or maybe 90 minutes from now, what the market, maybe we're still sitting at 3, or we have a little bit more movement in this game. But once again, the Big Ten title, or the Big Ten East title, I should say, is at stake. Winner goes ahead and plays Iowa next week in Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship game,
what's the under in that game? I mean,
I can't wait for that market to come.
Oh my God, what's that going to be, 19 on the under? I mean, what do you think Iowa's point total will be in that game?
I mean,
right?
You probably said probably 6.5.
Probably slightly more than how many bourbons you drank on Thanksgiving, I would suspect, right?
Yeah. What's the market? How many bourbons I had, or how many points Iowa will score? I mean, I think the team total's got to be like 6.5. I mean, based on what Iowa's been doing. So we'll get into that next Saturday, whichever one of these teams faces the Iowa Hawkeyes. But it is rivalry weekend. We have big games as it pertains to the college football playoff. Big game in my old neck of the woods up in Seattle, the Apple Cup, Washington State and Washington. The Pac-12 obviously has been a conference we've been following quite a bit this season. It's been really exciting. And now the Washington Huskies, they have their date set for the Pac-12 title game against Oregon, but they got to get through this game, though, to keep their national title hopes alive. Right now, 15.5 point favorites at home against our boy Cam Ward and the Cougars.
You know, the Cougars have slipped, as we know, lately, late in the season. They just haven't been the same team offensively, defensively, and, you know, it's been reflective in the way they, you know, when they beat Wisconsin earlier in the year, you're like, whoa, something's brewing up in Pullman, right? You know, and then when you looked at it, you're like, okay, wait a minute, what's going on here? And then Arizona went up there and gave them a whooping. And since that Arizona game, really, Femi, they have struggled, I think, to be able to come back. And we know Washington has struggled. I mean, Washington hasn't been able to really kind of get their same dominant view going the way they did earlier in the year. So, you know, for me, I this is an easy take Washington and lay the points, especially being at home. because I think, but then you always worry about, are they prepared? You know, what's going to happen on the, you know, look ahead? How's that? How are you handling that? Yeah. You know, you got expectations, you know, you're playing Oregon, you know, all that. But I think when you look at the 6-game losing streak of Washington State, starting with losing the UCLA, Arizona whooping them 44-6, Oregon, they played Oregon tough. Oregon only beat them by 14.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, they lost to Arizona State, and, you know, Stanford beat them 10-7. I just think, to me, this is going to be a hard game for Washington State.
Yeah. I do worry, though, for the Huskies that, like, is this one of those, like, exhale games? Because the last few weeks, it's been, like, big primetime games like USC, Utah, Oregon State last week, to where, like, hopefully they don't just, like, go, like, all right, whew, we got through that stretch. Now let's go ahead and play. It's like, do they exhale a little bit here and let a Washington State team that, I mean, Cam Ward, depending on how he plays today, like, this can get scary for the Huskies if Ward is dialed in. Like, he's talented enough to hang within the number.
No question. And I mean, we know Washington's defense. I mean, look, Washington's defense is, you know, not, is in the bottom half of the Pac-12. We know they're not, you know, they're the top 50. They're not top 50 in America in all the teams. They don't play great, you know, and the one thing they're not able to do is their passing defense ranks 121st in the NFL. I mean, excuse me, in college football. And knowing that, you know, Cam Ward should be able to. If this game becomes a track meet, I don't think it favors Washington. I think it kind of helps Washington State because that one shift in turnover could be the difference in getting them back into the game.
Yeah, that game will be at 4:00 Eastern, 1:00 Pacific. We'll get into a lot of the rivalry games, the Iron Bowl, Bama and Auburn. That's going to be one that's going to be a lot of fun to watch here. Of course, we have LSU, Texas A&M, a bunch of games on this Saturday, and Tim Murray is going to join us next to help us break them down.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you haven't become a VSiN Pro subscriber yet, we're giving you one last chance to sign up on our best deal of the year. Sign up on our Black Friday special today and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st for only $60. It includes daily best bets, unlimited access to our exclusive betting splits, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus all our betting guides and best bets for the upcoming College Bowls, Super Bowl, and March Madness. This offer expires on November 30th, so start betting smarter today. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up on our Black Friday special now. Got 5 days, folks. Get on it. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. And to continue our college football discussion, we bring in our buddy Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime, which you can check out Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 Eastern time. Also host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcast. Tim, happy Rivalry Saturday. We'll start with the game in Ann Arbor, Ohio State against Michigan. You have a play on the total here. Right now we're sitting 45.5 with the spread, the Wolverines 3-point home favorites.
Yeah, I'm channeling my inner the game. I'm out in the mountains of Pennsylvania right now, so getting in the elements, the temps in the 30s. So I'm ready for some football here. Yeah, I do like the under, and you know, I was curious how the market would attack this because history tells us that this rivalry goes over. I mean, you look at last year, 45-23. I think the over is hitting this game 9 straight times. So I'm certainly going against a trend in that regard, but. You know, we have 11 games for each of these two teams, right? And to me, risen to the occasion on both sides on a regular basis is the defense. I think both these defenses are elite, and I have questions about both of the offenses for sure. You look at Ohio State getting a little healthier. Tommy Eichenberg is back. Mike Hall is back, an interior defensive lineman there for the Buckeyes. And, you know, I saw Ohio State up close and personal. Granted, it was 2 months ago in South Bend, but that was a game where they really relied on the defense. You know, Notre Dame did a good job of eliminating Marvin Harrison Jr. That said, he got a little nicked up in the game. Travion Henderson looked himself last week against Minnesota. But I think this is leaned in on kind of playing it a little close to the vest. And that's why I like the under here in this game. You know, it got as high as 47 yesterday. You're starting to see that late buyback down to 45, 45.5. Key number in college football and in all football is 45. So I'll play under 45.5 here and thinking that ultimately the two best best sides of the ball, in my opinion, in this game are Ohio State's defense and Michigan's defense. And I think the defense kind of rules the day and what ultimately I believe will be kind of a 20-17 slugfest in Ann Arbor today.
Tim, tell me, what do you think the strategy of Michigan will be when it comes to J.J. McCarthy? Femi was asking during the break, is he hurt? You know, why haven't he thrown a touchdown pass? What's actually going on? Do you think they'll change this? I mean, because I think he's actually can throw the football and he looks like he's a guy that has a future on Sundays.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I do think he's a little bit banged up, Michael. That's been kind of well known. I heard from a couple of people that last week when he was warming up, you know, against Maryland, there was some kind of wincing there when he was throwing the football. So, it's something to certainly keep an eye on. I do think, and I'm curious because, you know, I went on, you know, VEASAN Primetime last night with JVT and he was pulling out. And I actually think he had a good point in this saying, you know, maybe these teams have held back some of the, you know, creative play calling just because they knew they could dominate pretty much anyone in their path. I mean, you look at the Penn State game, no forward pass officially attempted. There was a pass interference there that negated one pass. But no, it's a great question, Michael. And maybe we won't know until, you know, about 2 hours from now. But I do wonder if Michigan has been holding back some plays. And, you know, you think back to last year and certainly people have brought up the jokes that it helps when you know the call signals, but there was explosive play after explosive play last year. So that's going to be interesting to see if we see a little bit more explosiveness, because that has not been the case for either one of these teams really this year.
Yeah, maybe we'll get some fireworks out there in Ann Arbor. We're speaking with Tim Murray, host of VEASAN Primetime, also the VEASAN College Football Betting Podcast. Tim, we're going to get to your best bets here in a second here, but I want to ask you about the Iron Bowl. Alabama taking on Auburn. The Tide have been surging over the last 6 weeks or so. Jalen Milroe's playing really well. Right now they're laying 13.5, total 47.5. See, things can get a little bit tricky sometimes in Jordan-Hare. Do you see the Tide being able to take care of business here?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you've seen the market kind of bounce around that key number of 14, Femi, you know, 13.5 at DraftKings right now, 14 where you sit on this Saturday morning at Circa. I don't have a play on this one, but I do think I have been very impressed by Alabama, honestly, since the disaster that was the USF game. You know, they've gone back to Jalen Milroe. They've seemed to find some continuity there offensively. Tommy Reese, the offensive coordinator there for the Crimson Tide, I feel like is now figuring out his quarterback here, and they're utilizing his legs a lot. I do believe, though, ultimately why I kept off this game, guys, and why I didn't lay it with Alabama, it just feels like that classic spot, you know, on the plains. They were horrendous last week. I mean, they got obliterated by New Mexico State. Shout out to Jerry Kill. He's doing a great job there, you know, in Las Cruces. But come on. I mean, they were a 25-point favorite. They lost by 3 touchdowns. They didn't seem to have any effort in that particular game. But, you know, history tells us that Hugh Freeze can dial it up against Nick Saban, beat him not once but twice at Ole Miss. So that's why ultimately I stayed off this one. It just feels like a trap that we're going into where it's, you know, at some spots under a touchdown or 2 touchdowns, I should say. But, you know, as we're sitting here talking, I think it just ticked up to 14 at DraftKings, you know, just a moment ago. So, it's one of those games that I've been impressed by Alabama. Obviously, it's a rivalry game for Auburn. And as we have a dog barking in the background, maybe the dogs will be barking there on the plains.
You know, I mean, I thought the Hugh Freeze welcome to Auburn to the Plains have kind of, as soon as he lost to New Mexico State, the Boo Birds came out. I mean, it's hilarious how quickly they want to fire a coach down there. It's unbelievable. You get
it's
one bad
season,
game.
Michael, everyone gets fired.
You get one bad game. Speaking of somebody on the hot seat, I know you don't have this as an official play, but Florida and Florida State, you know, Jordan Travis not playing. Tate Rudemaker is going to take over the starting job. Billy Napier is on the hot seat in his second year at Florida. Which way do you lean in this game? I know you don't have an official pick.
Yeah, this is another one under a key of seven. I kind of like Florida a little bit. Obviously, they're dealing with a backup quarterback too. Max Brown taking over for Graham Mertz. And look, guys, last week came on the show and said I was back in Florida on the road at Missouri when Mertz went down. I thought my bet was dead and buried. And Max Brown, you know, he can utilize his legs. He's been very impressive. So look, there's a lot of I know there's heat on Billy Napier, obviously, as Matt Newman's likes to call him, Sunbelt Billy. But I do think that Florida State has a lot of pressure. Not only do they have to run the table, now you've got these questions about, well, you know, they don't have Jordan Travis. Do they get left out if they're 13-0? I don't think they will. We don't have any precedent, any history of this playoff committee leaving out a team, a Power Five championship team that is undefeated. But they got to take care of business. Look, Florida gave them everything they could handle last year in Tallahassee in what was a phenomenal game. Granted, Anthony Richardson was playing for Florida, not Max Brown. But I do think there's a sneaky suspicion I have that Florida is going to be a bit live here. But yeah, not an official play, but I would look dog or pass in this one. A lot of pressure on Tate Rodemaker, though. I think there's going to be extra eyeballs seeing, hey, is this Florida State team as good as they were without Jordan Travis? So a lot of questions there for the Noles as they head into this game undefeated and knowing they have to win out, obviously, to get into the college football playoff.
Yeah, I mean, well, not only is it a rivalry game, but the extra motivation of being dropped from 4-5 by the committee, maybe that gets the Seminoles fired up here in this game against the Florida Gators. How about the game that you do have a play in? A little bit of a late night kick on the West Coast. Cal at UCLA. The Bruins right now 9.5 over at DraftKings, total 50.5. We got about a minute left, Tim.
Yeah, I mean, this is a motivation play. Cal is 5-6. Obviously, they've had some opportunities to get to bowl eligibility. What really jumped to me, and look, you can't make plays solely on motivation, right? At the end of the day, Jimmys and Joes are out there, and UCLA has better Jimmys and Joes than Cal. But I think Cal's going to be extra motivated for this spot. You heard them after the game, their quarterback Mendoza talking about he would cry if they were able to beat UCLA. They really want to get to bowl eligibility. And then you flip it over to the other side. Look, UCLA, they felt all this noise and pressure last week about, hey, Chip Kelly's going to get fired and you're playing USC. And they went out and dominated USC. So is there a letdown factor for UCLA? We know how big that rivalry is out there in Los Angeles. And now you're playing nighttime in the Rose Bowl. It's going to be a sleepy atmosphere. So I think Justin Wilcox's squad's going to be pretty fired up for this one. I wish I could have got the 10. I played 9. There's a 9.5 out there at DraftKings, but I do think Cal's gonna be pretty fired up to try to get the bowl eligibility. Will they get there? I don't know if I'm gonna go that far, but I do think you're gonna get a pretty motivated team. And honestly, guys, on Thanksgiving weekend, you gotta have a play in the Pac-12 after dark window too.
As we put a bow on the conference.
Love it.
As we put a bow on the Pac-12 conference. He is Tim Murray. Check him out on VSiN Primetime Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 Eastern Time. Also check out the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Tim, good luck with all the bets. Safe travels back here to Vegas, man.
Thanks, Tim.
See you, fellas. See you guys.
Awesome stuff there from Tim Murray. All right, we'll get to the NFL Black Friday and Thanksgiving recap coming up next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The lowest prices for over 30 years. You'll always find what you love and love what you find only at Total Wine and More. Drink responsibly. Be 21. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi. Thank you to Tim Murray, who joined us in the last segment, host of VSiN Primetime and the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Obviously, a big day in college football rivalry. Saturday, we got Michigan, Ohio State a little bit later on in about 90 minutes in Ann Arbor. Michigan currently a 3-point favorite, total 45.5. We will put the college football off to the side here for just a little bit and recap what we've seen over the last two days in the National Football League, starting with our first ever Black Friday game in league history, Michael, and the New York Jets put out that pathetic offensive performance. Miami Dolphins win the game 34-13. Tim Boyle was as bad as one might have expected in this game here, as the Dolphins covered the number and the game actually went over the total.
Yeah, and you know, you keep your MVP ticket for Tua alive too, Femi. That's always good, because I mean, I listened to the broadcast and they were, you know, he's going to win it. He's still +500, right? I mean, the odds haven't gone down, have they?
He's still in that range, I believe.
Yeah, sure. Why wouldn't he be? He's the MVP of the team. There's no question about that. Look, I've been saying this for the last month. This Miami Dolphin team, I know they scored more points. Going into the game, they averaged 20.5 points. They scored 34 yesterday, but that was a lot of help from the Jets as they did that. And, you know, the Hail Mary at the end of the half, I had to go on Russo at 5 yesterday to discuss, you know, we do our pick show on Mad Dog Radio. And, I mean, I was, you know, to me, it's inexcusable to throw the ball in a Hail Mary if you can't get the ball to the end zone. What's the point? And all I kept thinking about, Femi, yesterday was Al Davis asking me, did he practice that in practice this week? Because I didn't see it on tape. Like, do you think, and I'm going to ask you this, do you think Tim Boyle practiced the Hail Mary throw in practice this week?
No, not a chance. Not the way that
zero
I saw.
Chance.
Not
right?
What I saw on Friday. No.
Not. And do you think Saleh knew that he couldn't reach the end zone on the throw?
I don't think they would have ran that play if he thought if he knew he couldn't make it. So
I rest my case. I rest my case. So you got back 10-7, and you got to feel like this is the greatest gift of all. And then you get an interception to stop it from going to 13-7, and then you go ahead and give up a play. Somebody said that I haven't seen the all 22. I will sometime either today or tomorrow. But somebody said he threw it to the wrong side. I find that hard to believe. But if he did throw it to the wrong side, it's probably because he didn't practice it. I don't know how much further the Jets can continue to go down this road. Everybody says Saleh's job is safe because of Rodgers. If you're Woody Johnson, Rodgers is going guaranteed to make $56 million. Do you have to continue to go down this road with people that you know are just not going to be able to do what they have to do? Is it all Rodgers? I mean, Russo was telling me yesterday that things would have been different with Rodgers played. I'm not so sure about that. I'm really not.
I think this could have been set up for even a disaster season with the way that offensive line is playing. Like they can't block anybody. And then I don't know what Hackett's doing offensively. Maybe they had this grand plan when it was going to be Rodgers at quarterback and they haven't adjusted from that plan. But it looks really anemic, like up front and from the play calling standpoint. And then now you have these quarterbacks who clearly are bad quarterbacks and you get a historically bad offense. In terms of going down the road, though, Michael, obviously Robert Saleh is still the head coach of the Jets. Tim Boyle will be the quarterback of the New York Jets next week as well.
And why shouldn't he be?
Yeah, I mean, why shouldn't he be?
I mean, he put 13 on the board. They haven't scored 13 since they beat the Giants back in week 8. I mean, they haven't scored 13. You know, I mean, look, they scored 10 against the Cowboys. They scored 10 against the Patriots. I mean, so why wouldn't you go with a guy that puts points on the board? It makes sense to me, Femi. It makes complete sense to me. It's remarkable. And all we keep hearing about is how great the Jets are on defense. They've given up 148 yards rushing to the Raiders. Lost that game. You know, Josh McDaniels got fired for it, and they lost to the Raiders. 130 to the Jets, to the Bills, and 167 to Miami. I mean, like, when did they – and then before that, against the Giants, with Tommy DeVito at quarterback, once Tyrod Taylor got hurt, they gave up 203 yards. Like, at what point do you say maybe they're not as good defensively as we all have been hyped to believe, especially in the run defense?
Yeah, I mean, you'd think that those questions would be asked, but we always hear every single week about
all the
quarterbacks are struggling against them other than Dak Prescott.
I mean, do you remember? Let's go back this summer when they, you know, that Saleh canceled OTA days because the team was really where it needed to be. Like, tell me one decision they've made, him as the leader of the franchise, that have been good. Right. They canceled OTA days. They didn't want to work too hard in the summer this year. I mean, like, and you're going to trust this billion-dollar industry to him, and he's throwing the ball. I mean, last year he punted the ball down the middle of the field against the Patriots. I went berserk at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And they took it back for a touchdown, and he lost that game. And everybody said, well, it's not his fault. I mean, it's never his fault. I mean, Bill Belichick's on the hot seat. He's got 6 Super Bowls. Robert Saleh's not. He's the 34% winning percentage coach of this franchise. I mean, I'm going to break some news to you. I know you're going to find this hard to believe. But Todd Bowles, no, excuse me, he's down to 33% win percentage. Todd Bowles was at 37. You know, and they talk about how great this defense is. His first year at the Jets, they ranked 28th overall, 26th last year, and now they rank 30th. I mean, in yard, excuse me, that's in passing yards. In when you look at their run defense, they haven't been that good. So, you know, I get their pass defense is good, but to me, I think it's just a comedy. I really do. You're not allowed to say anything bad. Just like hang on to that Tua ticket, Femi, because it's going to cash for you. You know you're going to win it.
Robert Saleh's career record, 15-30 in three seasons as the New York Jets head coach. And like you said, like we've talked about this on the GM Shuffle podcast, which we encourage everybody to go ahead and subscribe, rate, and review to. But like it feels like Saleh and the defense, just they just get the pass because the quarterback play looks so bad that everybody just focuses on what the offense is not doing, which is getting first downs and scoring points. So like it's like everyone's like, oh, well, it can't be their fault because like look how bad they have at quarterback play. And like that, like it's like, no, like, just because they don't look as bad as Zach Wilson or Tim Boyle or whoever they put back there doesn't mean that they're also doing their jobs as well. Like, yeah, I think
Would you ever bet Saleh? Like to me, no. A part of this is like, how do you bet him in an NFC, AFC East game? Like, how would you bet that?
And people were betting
his numbers are horrendous when it comes to the AFC East. He can't beat anybody. He's never won a road game in the AFC East. He's never beaten New England. He beat Buffalo at home. He's beaten Miami at home when Miami played Teddy Bridgewater last year. Remember that game they won 4? But that's it. He's got three wins against them.
I was sitting here doing the show with Pritch and we were talking about it like as the game was getting close to kicking off. It's like people were betting the Jets at close and I was like, man, like I'll find better things to do with my Black Friday than have to sweat out a Jets ticket. Like I'm gonna watch the game, but I'm
there
not sweating
no
this damn
way
thing
the
out.
Jets were covering that number. And there was no way. They couldn't score. It's like last week when the Raiders covered the number, you can say, yeah, we had that handicap right. No, you didn't. I mean, the Raiders should have never been it should have been a 31-13 game. The problem was Miami only scored 20 points. They turned it over. I mean, this is a game where Miami turned it over, but of course, Tim Boyle felt very comfortable turning it back to them. So, you know, I mean, like, seriously, how do you give up a Hail Mary like that? How do you do that?
And then how
do you defend it?
I'd never seen that before in watching the NFL, and I've been watching it since about 1996. I've never seen the 100-yard pick six on a Hail Mary there, but it's the New York Jets. I guess they give us some new material each and every week. On the Dolphins side of it, though,
No, I think we've beaten the Jets up enough. Yeah. I mean, would you ever? I mean, like, I'm not taking the Jets for the rest of it. Like, there's no chance you're going to convince me. I think that locker room is shattered now, especially after they called the team players meeting and Garrett Wilson organized it, second year player organizing the team meetings. I'm not sure he's going to get their attention back, but to me, the Miami conversation is worthwhile.
Yeah. And I think having the Jalen Phillips conversation there, the Miami Dolphins star pass rusher, unfortunately, tears his Achilles there in the game yesterday, late in the football game. He's done for the season. This defense, we talked about it over these last 3 to 4 weeks, about how it had kind of been ascending. Like now they're starting to understand the Fangio principles and all that stuff. This is a pretty big loss for the Dolphins, though, as they try to continue to win this AFC East and contend for a Super Bowl potentially.
Yeah, this defense is good. I mean, Van Ginkel's played good when he was out. Remember, Phillips missed a lot of games earlier in the season. He's a good player, don't get me wrong. And Chubb's playing at a higher level than he's played in a while, so that's a good thing. I mean, look, the last four games, and you know, from New England to Kansas City to the Raiders and to the Jets, I mean, this team has been dominating. They've been turning the ball over defensively. This is the strength of their team. The concern you have, now yesterday they ran for 167, but before that, before the game against the Jets, they had not been able to run the ball. They were only averaging 84 yards a game rushing, and typically they're up at 148. Now, yesterday against the Jets, they ran the ball. But again, this is not a great third down offense. This Jet team is going to have to play and win games with their defense. And I think their defense is good. They go to Washington next week to see Ronnie Rivera and his new defense. There'll be a lot of Tampa, too, in that game, Ben.
We will see Ron Rivera and his new defense next week against the Miami Dolphins. And we'll also have to recap what happened with Ron Rivera's team on Thanksgiving afternoon as they got shellacked by the Dallas Cowboys. Thanksgiving recap coming up next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's so much to be thankful for. Family, friends, food, and NFL football all week long. DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping your Thanksgiving week full of action. New customers can bet just $5 on the NFL to score 150 instantly in bonus bets. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSEN only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. We're hanging out with you guys here on a Saturday after Thanksgiving, college football Saturday, rivalry weekend. We got Ohio State and Michigan in about an hour and a half from now. Well, that'll be a lot of fun game. We'll talk to Matt Eumanns about that game in hour number two and the rest of his college football card as well. But Michael, let's continue our recap from the holiday games in the NFL. And Thursday afternoon, sitting there watching my Dallas Cowboys, you know, eating a lot of food and, hey, liking what I'm seeing. They go ahead and beat the Commanders 45-10. Offensively, they just explode for 431, 8.6 yards per play. Thus, the firing of Commanders defensive coordinator Jack Del Rio to where it feels like, Michael, for the Commanders, a season officially off the rails.
Yeah, I mean, those 25 points in the fourth quarter got Jack fired. You know, I mean, here's the thing I don't understand about this Washington Commanders team this season, and I'm the idiot who thought that they could go over their win total, because I was basing it on the fact that they played really good defense last year. I mean, how does a team go from being good on defense last year to being this bad defensively this year? I mean, it's just like a complete change. I mean, they just went in a completely different direction. And so for me, you know, Del Rio is another one of the long line of the scapegoats. But at the end of the day, I mean, can you, you know, I mean, really, is getting rid of Del Rio going to cure the problems you have? I mean, this team was the best third down team in football last year. They ranked seventh in points allowed last year. They were third in yards allowed last year. And it all comes back this season to where they're 32nd in almost every statistical category. Now, last year, they ran the football more effectively. They tried to control the pace of the game. This year, they just they could care less. They're just going to throw it all over the lot. They're playing Madden on offense. They just want to get yards and could care about how many points and if they win the game. So, I mean, the Washington, to me, they play Miami this week. What do you think that line's going to be, Fenn?
Gosh, I mean, the look ahead was seven. I think it'll be a little bit different than that.
Seven. I mean, I think that's going to be 14, don't you?
Yeah, it's got to be double digits, especially with, I mean, Dallas closed 13.5. No, there's not a big gap between Dallas and Miami. So you're probably around 12, 13, maybe even 14 with this game here, because, well, I guess what's in Washington, but they don't have that much of a home field advantage, though.
So if you think anybody's going to show up there then? I mean, I know they had the sellouts early, but who's coming to watch this team?
Yeah, I think that's
look, gone. They fired Del Rio. You know Rivera's going next. They have the bye week on the 14th. On the week 14, the last bye week they could have. And then they got to travel to the Rams and the Jets. That ought to be a classic.
Oh, God.
The Christmas Eve game at 1 o'clock between the Jets and Washington. I hope that's on somebody's TV.
we got to find a bet in that game. So, something with that game.
We're betting that game.
Yeah, that
should be the bet. That should be a mandate by every VSIN employee. You have to bet that game. You have to pick a side.
Yep. You got to have a side bet. And Commanders at the Jets. Goodness gracious. I mean, but that's the volume will be up in the sports book for that game there. On the Dallas side, real quick before we transition to some of the other Thanksgiving games, are you buying what the Cowboys are selling here? I mean, as a fan of the team, like, cautiously optimistic, but this is against inferior opponents. That's kind of been their story. Can they actually beat the really good teams? But are you buying what Dallas is selling over this past
month? Yeah, I am.
You are?
I am. I mean, look, they got 1st and 5 at the 6. They have a chance to beat Philly. They didn't make the plays to do it, right? They got blown out by San Francisco. They caught them on a bad day. I get that. So, you know, but for the most part, this team is really good offensively. I think they play very good complementary football. I think Dak is playing at a very high level right now. They can, and then they get the lead. I mean, this is a team that has averaged 19 points in the first half. They've allowed 9. They're going into halftime with a 10-point lead. They're dangerous. Now, Thursday night, they got a Seattle team at home that'll test them.
Yeah.
But the way that McCarthy's calling the game, the way he's very aggressive to get the lead, knowing that his defense's strength is to play from in front, which we saw in the second half. I mean, Washington was making that a game, right? Washington was making that again. It's 20. It was 13-10, and Dallas scores the touchdown late in the game, you know. But of course, with some help from Washington, right? Washington gives them the ball back with what, 1:52 to go after they scored to make it 13-10, and next thing you know, or 14-10, and Dallas takes it right down the field with plenty of time to score again. So, to me, I am buying them, Femi. I think that they have to continue to get better, but they're a good team. They play complimentary. He's calling a really good game. You know, for all the criticism Mike gets, he's taking his defense, scoring early, letting them play 27 minutes a game. They've played over 100 more plays offensively than they have defensively, which is the key to playing great defense.
Yeah, I mean, the last 3 weeks for Dallas, like we said, it's been against inferior opponents with the Giants, Panthers, Commanders. Now it gets real starting on Thursday. A desperate Seattle team that's lost two straight trying to stay in the playoff race is coming to town. Then it's home against the Eagles. And that's going to be a massive game. Then you're at Buffalo, at Miami, and then home against Detroit. I believe that's going to be like a New Year's Eve game or might be around that time. So these next five are about to get real for the Cowboys.
Right. I'm not sure Seattle's a playoff team, although they may make it. Seattle's kind of not quite really at the same level. Geno's not playing as well defensively. They can't get off the field on third down. And without Kenneth Walker, when they can't run the ball, it's a problem for Seattle. Yeah. But after that, you got four playoff teams that you have to face. I'm not sure that's really the schedule makers did them a lot of favors because, you know, when you play this many good teams at the end of the season, there are going to be some injuries that pile up as you go into the playoffs. So we'll see how that all transpires. But look, they can play anybody, and the way their line has played, especially their offensive line, when Tyron Smith is playing left tackle, they're good. And Dak has been very good. And, you know, we haven't seen Pollard the same level that Pollard had last year. You know, Pollard was well over 6 yards a carry last year. This year, he's not having the same type of season. I think he does miss stacks. And if he gets going in the passing game, right now he's only at 6 yards per attempt per catch in the passing game. That's got to change for them, to me, whether it's using another running back. I don't know, but they're going to have to do something different.
Yeah, they've started sprinkling Rico Dowdle a little bit there. He was the one that scored the first touchdown. So trying to maybe go to like a little bit of a 1-2 punch with Pollard and Dowdle in the backfield. Well, the Cowboys are obviously contending in this NFC. Let's talk about another contending team, though. The Detroit Lions, they fall to the Green Bay Packers as 8.5-point home favorites, now sitting at 8-3 after the 29-22 loss. Is there cause for concern with this Detroit Lions team now? Because now it's back-to-back performances where it has been subpar. They won against Chicago despite not playing well, but Green Bay came in, first play, deep ball to Watson, and that kind of set the tone for the game.
Well, I mean, after the bye week, right? After the bye week, they turned the ball over three times very sloppily against the Raiders. And they won the game and got away with it because the Raiders weren't very good and the Raiders fired Josh McDaniels the next day. But those three turnovers kind of gave us an indication of what may come. They've turned the ball over seven times in the last 3 weeks. They didn't turn it over against the Chargers, but they turned it over seven times, three against Green Bay and four against Chicago. And that doesn't count the going for it on fourth down. I really felt like this was a game where Campbell panicked. Look, he wasn't playing great. He was down 23-3 at the half. I know he got behind quickly, but there was ample opportunity to get back in the game in the second half. And, you know, when you look at the drive chart and he kept going for it on fourth down, you know, and Green Bay did very little in the second half. I mean, Green Bay had four first downs in the second half. Four is all they had. They had eight in the first quarter. And so to me, he didn't take the points. One of the things Sean Payton's done for his team this year is over this win streak and how they've improved, he's only gone for it on fourth down four times. He's 2-for-4 on fourth down. He's kicked 14 field goals. Everybody says he's ridiculous for kicking the field goals, but yet those points help him. Whereas I think really when you look at it, I think what they did, you know, they give the ball up on downs at the Detroit 23. That ends up getting a touchdown for Green Bay. They get one first down and a touchdown. Then they fumble. Then they lose it on downs at the 12. They can't get it in the end zone. And they scored a cheap touchdown. They had a chance. I mean, they ran, Femi, think about this. They ran 33 plays in the fourth quarter and ended up with 7 points.
Yeah, the Packers defense was kind of like bend but don't break, but then they got those fourth down stops in the red zone and turned them over. I did think like the fake punt that Campbell ran, like that's where like the game, I was like, okay, I think Green Bay is just going to win the game. Like that felt very panicky to me. And it's also, I'm always a big proponent of, if you're going to try to just go for it, just go for it. Like do we, yeah, do we really want the up back having to that, try to pick that
but
up?
I don't know. I wasn't listening to the broadcast, but those fake punts are never calls. They're audibles. They're either going to call a fake or we're checking out of it. I don't know why they didn't check out of it. I really don't.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a strange game, and it kind of set the Packers up with a short field position. But like you mentioned, Green Bay didn't do a whole lot in the second half offensively. First half, though, Jordan Love, he was slinging it. 268, three touchdowns. Maybe he's turning the corner. I'm sure Big Daddy was happy on Turkey Day.
Miserable. The entire game, he was miserable. 3 hours of complaining. When I told him they're dominating the game, he looked at me like I had cancer. Like, are you crazy? They're not dominating. Yeah, they are dominating this game.
From start to finish, set the tone with Christian Watson. But hey, you can never make Big Daddy happy. But it's Packers in the thick of it in the playoff race. All right, we'll start hour number two next here on the Lombardi Line.